my name's Amy, I'm an addict.
Hi.
I know it's a bit of a cliche and everyone says it, but I feel so scared. Like, I was really present for, well, as present as I could be for Bodhisha, and I'm so glad it was you. As soon as I saw you, I was like, oh, someone I know, and I feel safe with and connected, and Penelope's been so kind and welcoming, and thank you, Shirley, for asking me, and it's nice to be here, even though I feel so scared and just want to run away. Or be like, someone give me a Xanax or something to calm down. Anything. And yes, I'm just like, right, I've got my water, I've got my rock tissues, like I'm trying to breathe, I'm trying to like make myself comfortable. And, okay. So yeah, and like, so I was only asked to do this 2 days ago, so that's probably the best way, because on the day that it happened, I was like, and then I didn't really, I did sleep a bit, but like the my share, like planning and preparing. And then last night, I was like, right, I'm definitely not going to sleep. But last night I did sleep, so I feel good. Like I've had a good night's sleep, so I'm not too kind of like, and I didn't want to like prepare. And today, like I was at Chris's funeral, and it was really, really moving and really, just it kind of really grounded me. And like I met Chris at this meeting, and I know that if I was sitting here, like I can like feel him now, he'll be like, it's going to be okay, and it's going to be okay, and he'll give me like a big northern hug and tell me it's going to be okay. So like as I was listening to Bob and just feeling, trying to like bring myself into the room, remembering today and like the love and like NA and why I'm here and how I'm here and the people that I've met and that it is going to be okay, it's like the worst that's going to happen is I'll just sit here and be like, what do I say? Or I just run away because I think, fuck, I can't do it. But it's fear. It's like this adrenaline of like fear. And I want to go into like this little timid, like geisha, little Victorian doll to sit here and giggle and or crack really inappropriate jokes and be like, woo, or just run away. Or go and like smoke. I've not smoked for like over 5 years, or like just do anything. I'm just like, just this like jittery. And it's because I like have to, I can't even look at anyone. Like, there's so many lovely people I love in the room. I'm like, I can't look at anyone. I have to look down and just keep talking and like, look at the birdie, like distract. Okay, so I've never spoken for, well, yeah, I've spoken in my life for lots of time, but never like sat and like shared for this length of time. And in my head, it's like, you've got nothing to say. You're not really an addict. You're just pretending. And like that, my head is like, saying all these things like you've not good enough, got a good enough story, you're not really an addict, like all these things, like, but it's not true. It's like my head. And when I came to NA, like for about 7 months I didn't speak at all. I was so scared, like literally terrified, and I didn't speak, and I'm really grateful today to be in NA, to have my voice and to be able to speak, even though I'm scared and I really don't want to be doing this. And I just feel like, oh God, why can't I just like be confident and be this like really like brave speaker, go into this like, oh my God, I'm gonna, and it's, I don't know why, like, and but I know it's okay. It's like, it's going to be okay. I just have to speak my experience of what it was like before and my experience of recovery. And but I go, like my default factory setting is just to be a mute or to take loads of drugs and just get out of myself and just like then isolate a bit more. Like having to talk to a bunch of people, like it scares me so much. Like, and that, like when I took drugs, like I became another person. So I had all this confidence, but it was pretend. And when I got to recovery and it was pointed out by my sponsor that maybe I'm just a quiet, shy person, I was like, no, I'm not. I'm really laddie and blokey and take loads of drugs and a drink. And then I was like, actually, no, I'm this really quiet, shy, like little mute girl. But that's like, I'm not either, really. I'm like, it's like, what? Who am I? And like, I don't know. So I continue to ask myself the question. But through coming to recovery, it's like, I can take the drugs away and it's like, this is me, very nervous, shy, like what am I gonna say? Like, do I want to like bring in like an experienced speaker to be like, hey, come on in, you've got loads more to say about than me, like, and but it's like, no, I'm not going to be like the little meek girl that doesn't have anything to say. It's like I've learned in recovery to grow up and or to learn to practice growing up. It's still a very much daily process, and to use my voice and to have a voice. And it's fear, is this like self-obsessed fear, like And I'm sure, like, most people aren't, like, even listening or caring. It's like, I think, like, everyone's going to, like, hang on every word or report back to, like, the NA police or the NA, like, committee. Like, she was shit or she was this, she was that. It's like, it doesn't really matter. But it's so nice to see the newcomers, like, really welcome. And I hope what I share, like, this is my experience. This is my experience of NA and what my experience of, like, living with drugs and addiction. And so it's not like I'm going to get marks out of 10 and get, like, a report back to the end. There's no NA, like, police or NA, like, headmaster. You're bad. You must be sent back. And before I did, like, and my head, like, this is my state of mind. Like, I will flit all over the place. So do kind of belt in and buckle up. We're going on, a ride around, like, all over. But that's just kind of how my head is. But... And also it's a bit of an avoidance. It's like, if I just kind of like chat, I don't actually like have to like share my story. So let's start. So this is the thing, I only know all these things now because of getting into recovery and looking at myself, and I didn't know these things. I didn't really have an awareness, but like my first kind of addiction, I remember stealing sweets from Bill Smith's sweet shop, and because I was such a good girl, like, I'd get away with things and no one would ever bat an eyelid because I was like this good little goody two shoes, but like fooling everyone, like nicking all these sweets, and just loved the buzz of like stealing and getting away with things and being this like sneaky, deceitful, manipulative little thing, but like all smiles and like da da da, no one would guess. And then stuff like, I remember like finding Calpol in mum and dad's like medicine cupboard and just like drinking loads, or buttercup syrup and then Pro Plus. Just like I'd find these things and just like would just be like, oh, like Bonjela, I'd put like a little bit and then be like, oh yeah. Just like loads of like little things I'd just like obsess, or like eating biscuits, like the whole biscuit. Mum and dad would buy like things for the week and I'd like eat them, and they'd say, well, where have they gone? I'd be like, I don't know, you must have stolen them, you must have eaten them. No, I didn't. Just like I could never just have one. If something was good, I just wanted it, and that kind of the sneaky kind of like, oh, I loved like that stuff. So I was like good girl because that got me more attention. If I was the best at like school and dancing and singing, like I got loads of attention and everyone was like, you're amazing. And I was like, yay, everyone loves me. And then at home, like I didn't really, my mum and dad like didn't like, I'm from a very like working class northern place where no one does love and affection. Like my mum and dad, and because I only now, like before I was like, why couldn't I have like parents that gave me love? But they didn't know, like they came from very like gritty, like mining and like factory. Not that that makes you have no feelings, but when I'm like, I hate you, mum and dad, I have to like remember that they don't know about recovery, and that's like, that is out. So I was brought up with not knowing love or affection. And now if I look back at my mum and dad's, the way they were brought up and the way their mum and dad were brought up, and that I can kind of understand a bit more now and be like, fuck you, you didn't give me hugs. But they didn't have hugs, they didn't have like love and stuff. But and then I'm going all over the place. So I was basically the good girl, and then I was like, right, I want to be bad, because I was sick of being the good girl, and I thought, I'm going to get more attention if I'm the bad girl and like fit in with more people. So I like basically got into makeup and boys at like year 9 at school, much to my mum and dad's like horror. And then I was like obsessed with like wanting to be like someone, and was really like, I don't want to be in the north, nothing happens in the north, like where I'm from in Stockport, like this shitty little town, and like I want to be in London. So like as soon as I could get out, I was like, I'm gonna go and be a someone. I don't know what it was, but I just wanted to like, I hated like where I was from. I hated like that everyone just like didn't really do anything, and apart from like no one had any dreams, and I like really, as a young girl, like I don't know what my dream was, but I was such like a sparkly, like I don't know what it was, but basically like then the something became drugs, and that something, it was like it was so easy for me to get in with the wrong crowd, and because I went to a rough school, and then now it's, my mum and dad were like, why are you going out with a drug dealer? I'm like, well, you sent me to this local comprehensive school, like I wanted to go to a private school, and they're like, we don't have money. I'm like, well, da da da. Like, so blaming them, like blaming them for everything. It's like, well, you made me this way. And so, and then like when I, yeah, so when I came to, I'm flitting all over the place, but when I came to London, I was like, I don't fit in here because everyone's really rich and really like confident. And in the north, I was like, I don't want to be here because everyone's like, no, not like, I don't know. I feel like I've never fit in anywhere. So I moved from like the north to the south thinking that'll fix me. And then, and everyone's like, you don't sound like you're from the north. Because when I was at school, I was like, I don't want to sound like you all. So always like thinking that I was better than everyone, but then never fitting in anywhere. And like the more I'd think I was like the queen of the castle, like everyone would just be like, you're a dick. And then that would like reaffirm my like, I hate myself, I hate myself. My mum and dad were like, who do you think you are? Where'd you get your snobbery from? You're mad, you're weird. Why can't you just be normal? That was my message. And I'm like, I'm not normal, I'm not normal. I'm not normal, I'm really fucking not normal. And then the boyfriend, you're fucking tapped in the head, you're mental, you're this. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Oh my God, what do I do? Where do I run to? Who's the people that I fit in? Am I working class or do I want to be middle class? What do I want to do? Who am I? And so drugs kind of like, when I found them and it was easy to find drugs where I was because there was nothing else to do where I'm from in the town in Stockport. So it's like quite early on I discovered like boys and then drinking and then the natural progression of taking drugs and going out and going off to loads of clubs, which I loved. I loved the buzz of like going off, getting in the car, like putting the tunes on and like going and taking loads of ease and loads of speed, and it was all fun. And I was like, wow, drugs are so much fun. I loved it. I really loved it. And it was like everyone's happy and everyone like, and I'd wear like ridiculous like cyber wear, and my mum and dad would look at me and be like, what was going on? And it was, and they were so like, why can't you just be normal? Why can't you just like go to the pub with the normal people? And I'd be like, no, like just rebelling. Like, but again, it's like, I went through loads of phases. Like, I'm a goth, I'm an indie kid, I'm a club kid, I'm a lesbian, I'm a bisexual, I'm a vegetarian. So when eventually I got into recovery, and I will go back to the story, my mum and dad were just like, oh, this is just another one of her phases. And to this day, they're like, so are you still not drinking? Thinking that I'm like going to go back. But it was just like, I was changing myself all the time because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know like who I was, like all of these identities. I had a kind of hand at being all the kind of people. So my boyfriends, like in my using or my early days, I always had a boyfriend from like 15 to 31. Then I had got into recovery and had a 2-year gap of abstinence. But I always had a boyfriend. If I had a boyfriend, then I thought I was popular. And they were like always a drug dealer or in a band, or like they were always someone, and I would hide behind them and they would be the speaker and I'd be like the kind of the just a, I don't know, like the dolly bird on the side. And it was like I'd be shaped by these people. And so drugs were fun at the beginning, and then the drug dealer I was going out with, then like the kind of the drug induced psychosis. And when I've shared this before, I kind of laugh because I find it like it's like I find drug-induced psychosis like quite scary, and well, it's not fun, but I will have always cracked jokes about it to kind of like just dampen it down and be like, oh yeah, that happened. But basically at 20 I was in hospital via the police station because like I couldn't I'm going all over the place. Breathe. Yeah, so okay, so yeah, drug-induced psychosis. So basically, like, I'm from this world, like, Little Miss Stockport, but I want to know exactly, like, who the dealers are in Manchester. I want to know this, I want to know that. I'm so inquisitive, and it's like, because I was doing journalism and English at uni, I was like, right, well, this will be my project to, like, kind of, like, find out about the drugs. And I was working in strange ways, going out with a drug dealer, thinking, like, I'd be like this, like, investigative journalist. So, but basically the more I got into this like world of dark and drugs and dealers, and the more I was like, fuck. And then the more drugs I would take, because I was scared, and so I'd take more kind of uppers, which was really the wrong drug to be taking when really I should have been taking downers. But so I was like manic and paranoid and crazy and like all the time. And then I ended up in hospital via the police station, and my mum and dad finding out at this point, and I was like, I need police protection, please, someone, you, like, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be killed. And that was my kind of message. I was like, fuck, drugs, I'm going to be killed, and that, like, and even now, like, I know that's my drug-induced psychosis, and the hospital, like, people are like, you should never take drugs, drugs are bad, you're not meant to be taking drugs, you've clearly got a very over-imaginative imagination, and don't take drugs anymore. I was like, okay, I'll never take drugs again. And had to go to like a psychiatrist the next day. And I was like, fuck. And they were like, if you get sectioned, or you could have been sectioned for this, but we're not going to, because your mum and dad tell us that you're grade 8 piano and you're this and you're that. And so I was like, yes, I'll never take drugs. My boyfriend, like, I was so silly going out with this drug dealer. I'll go out with someone called like Matt or Thomas, someone like nice and normal. And so they kind of like, I played this, like, I was so good at acting and being like, everything's like pretend. And sorry, hang on. I feel like I've taken drugs now. I'm just like going off on this like story. Okay, so drugs. And then I basically moved from Manchester to London, didn't take that drug anymore, like thought, oh, I'll just not go to the drug dealer anymore. I moved to London and work in like media and where everyone takes drugs, and I'll fit in there. Because, and then used for like 10 years just a different drug. But every time I took drugs, like, and that's the thing, like, drugs for me weren't all doom and gloom at the beginning. It was fun, and I liked how they made me feel. I didn't think at the time, oh, I hate myself, even though I, like, and this is the thing, I do, like, I've caught myself, I'm painting it out like it's all happy clappy, like, all the boyfriends I went with in drug using time, it was fucking dark and horrible, and, like, abuse on my part, on their part. But I kind of like make it all like, yay, drugs. And I guess that's to protect like myself and to kind of like avoid the pain. But it was horrible. And my mum and dad didn't want to know me, because it was like, it's the drug dealer or us. And I chose the drug dealer, and they didn't want to be around me anymore because of my behavior. And the more they didn't want to be around me, the more that message of you're fucking like fuck up. Everyone hates you, no one likes you, you're a horrible person, you bully people, you abuse people, you let people abuse you because you fucking think that that's what you deserve, or that's like some weird thing. And it was like, and I was like, I am fucked up, I am not normal. So I just keep taking more drugs on that and do these geographicals and just change boyfriends And then like all the years went by, and because I was working in media, it was kind of normal to be like given drugs, or it was kind of like applauded if you came in and you were like, whoa, I've been out with this person or that person, and still like drunk or hungover or coming in really wired. And it was like, oh, Amy, what's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, I've had another argument with my boyfriend. It's like, what do you want? Coke. Here you go, drug dealer. And the drug dealer's like, come to the door. And it's like, so for years I thought it was normal to be taking drugs. But this, like, the paranoia, this, like, someone is out to get you, someone is going to kill you, and this, like, the creeping around, thinking, like, then this is where my drug taking takes me, when I think, oh, yeah, it was all glamorous, it was all very fun, it was, like, it's me, like, in a toilet, looking around the toilet, like, picking up the scraps, like, licking my finger and licking the floor, like, looking for the scraps of cocaine, and, like, who can I get more coke off, and that wanting more and more and more, and it's not... There's not enough coke, or there's not enough whatever it is. There's not enough of whatever it is to fulfill. And my behavior, the person that I become when I've taken drugs, I like look at pictures, and I don't look at pictures. I used to look at the pictures and just think, I just feel so sad looking at that person, like this cocaine kind of like slut bag, like this, like, and it's horrible, like, and just I think, and I thought I was so like hot and so like, yeah, and like it was so like disgusting and degrading and awful, and I thought it was so sexy to be on drugs and like gurning, and like, and then it was so not, but I thought it really was, and I thought it was cool to be like flirting with people's boyfriends or husbands, or, and thought this, it was this power, because I felt so shit about myself. If I like that sneaky, if I've got your man, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, that like, it was that thing that I made myself feel good for like 10 minutes. And then the next day, the shame, the guilt, the remorse, you're a fucking horrible bitch even more now. Like that message of like, I hate myself. And now it was like, go and kill yourself, go and die. Like, I want to die. And then at 31, working in media, and it was, so creeping around the house, like every time I had drugs, it would be fun. And then something in my brain switches and I'm like, I'm not safe. Someone's after me. everyone hates me, oh my God, that person, calling the police, being like, I need someone to like get me, protect me, and it's like, what's going on? And then like, just like this, and I don't know whether it's fantasy or drama, yep, both of them, or like just the fucking insanity of drugs, like there's no one after me, but I think the whole of London is in on some like thing, like people, like cars moving slowly, me being like, who's who, like who's can I trust, who do I need to sleep with to be safe, where do I get more drugs from, because this is going down, like just this fucking chaos and manic and crazy, but I'm so like used to it. How long have I got?
It's fine.
Okay, I'm like, I must talk about recovery. We'll be here all night. Okay, so drugs, no, bad. And so, but I didn't know how I felt, because by this point, like, I was, and this is the thing, I've always worn so many hats, I'm, like, winning Employee of the Month at work in my, like, active addiction, because such an overachiever and such an actress, and at home, I'm, like, throwing my partner at the time down the stairs, and they're calling the police, and it's all, like, and I'm, like, he did this to me, officer, and it's, like, no, Amy, you're the fucking psychopath, like, and then putting it all on him, and that's my thing, it's, like, it's you, and he's going, you need to go to speak to someone, you're not okay, I'm, like, I'm fine, and it's, like, dying, and then I get to a point where I'm, like, I can't go on anymore, I can't pretend anymore, I'm, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like, the drugs clearly aren't working anymore. The drugs aren't fun. The drugs are making me paranoid and hate myself and do really shitty, horrible, degrading things and hurt myself and allow others to hurt me. Because by this point, like, anything that, like, hits me or does thing, it's like, I like it because it makes me feel something, because I feel so fucking dead and so numb and so horrible that, like, made me feel something. And that's what I have to remember when I think, oh yeah, it's all like fun, because it's not. And and I came to this meeting with someone that's in the room with who's brought a newcomer today, and it's like, fuck, that was me coming to this room like 5 and a bit years ago. And I was so fucking scared, and I saw someone from work, I was like, oh my God, they're gonna tell my boss, and again, the self-obsession, but it's like I kept such a secret. I was in so much pain, but I was in such a, it was so isolated and so awful, but I didn't know any other way. All I knew was to hurt myself with sex, drugs, like it just was all interlinked, like that, harming myself, and all I could think of was I'm gonna have to kill myself. That's the only way out. And I don't know how, like I always land on my feet, like in, and that's like higher power recovery. Like I won some money from work before, like throwing my boyfriend down the stairs and him calling the police. And then at work, it's like the irony. Then at work, like winning this money, and I went away. I'd never been away on my own before because I've been so fucking codependent that I always needed a boyfriend, and I'd stay with these boyfriends even though they'd hurt me. And I just like let them do anything just so I can have more drugs. And then I won this money from work, and then I went away with my friend. And for that first time, I thought I'd been on my own and away, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to hurt myself anymore. I don't want to be with people I don't want to be with. And I don't want to do things anymore for drugs. And I went away, and my friend died whilst I was away there. And I remember thinking, fuck, like, I've taken the same drugs as her. I've done smoked the same cigarettes. And I was like, I don't want to die. Even though I'd been saying for so many years, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. And I'd say to my boyfriends, like, I just want to die. And they'd just be like, I don't know what to do with you. Have some more drugs. Shut her up. Like, give her some wine. That'll cure her. And then from this freedom from like going away and just having a bit of space, and I went to the full moon party and stayed away till like 8 a.m. and had such a fun time. Like it was just me and my friend and a few other people. And for the first time I thought like, wow, I've not taken any drugs. I was with people because I was so on my own. I was so used to just being on my own and isolated and just like pretending everything was okay, but like having these secret lives and being all these different people to everyone. I was just like, and so anyway, so got into recovery, and that's higher power. Like worked in a place of 450 people, and it's mental, and found like one beautiful recovery person. And so came back to London, was like, so I was like, right, I'm never taking drugs again, that's it. And I had got like 2 weeks clean and was like, right, I'm gonna run a marathon. That'll make me sober and clean. So I did. For 4 months of my recovery, my first 4 months, I basically cross-addicted to sugar and running. And was like, if I just run every day and eat loads of sugar and have loads of energy, like running to like happy hardcore and like feeling alive. And so it was, but I didn't realize at the time, and I did my marathon at 4 months clean in 4 hours and a minute, which was very good. Thank you. And then, so yes, yeah, so I was still going out with my drug boyfriend, who by this point I would like got my sponsor and was like learning what self-esteem was and boundaries, and I wasn't having the crazy fucked up cocaine sex anymore, and he was just like, fuck this, I want my girl back. So I was like the sexual anorexic in bed, just like, oh my god, because I didn't even fancy him. I was like, I don't even like you in my head, and it took me a year to get out of this relationship, and I was like, I never even liked him in the first place, but I just stayed with him because he gave me loads of drugs and I didn't want to be on my own. And so it took me a year, and when we finally he was like, you need to go to meetings and I need someone that's going to give me sex. And I was like, yes, I don't want sex anymore. Because I literally was so like, I was just like, couldn't pretend anymore. I was just like, I would just lie in bed, just like, don't even come anywhere near me. And that was my, yeah, so I then had 2 years on my own, and like, and that was the best 2 years. So my first 2 years in recovery, I was like, everything's fine, everything's wonderful, everything's great, lying. And at 2 years, I went to treatment in South Africa because I was made redundant from my job, and they gave me money. Again, it's like higher power, thank you. And I, with that money, I was able to go to treatment, and because I was like cross addicting. And everyone was like, it's not drugs. So I was like, yes, but I'm like pulling my eyelashes out and binge eating at work and like falling asleep in meetings. It's the same behavior, and like sneaking around all the seven stories and like being a total mental case at work and thinking no one could see me, like scurrying under the like desks to like use. And it wasn't drugs, but I found food, and I found like, I didn't, like in NA, I found, so when I got here, I was like, ah, loads of guys. And it's like, and everyone's like, hey, do you want my phone number? And I'm like, yeah, great. And like chatting, like everyone was like my brothers and uncles and thinking, this is wonderful. And then not really genuinely like miss naive. And then I do go to another fellowship now for those things. I didn't know about boundaries. I was just like, oh, it's all one big happy family. And like thinking that it was like, I was like, oh, and like, and I just sit in meetings, like, just like, oh, right, yeah, fancy him, they're him, and just wasn't present because it was just another form of like acting out. And so when I was in treatment, I wasn't allowed to speak to boys, men, people, addicts, men, the other opposite sex for 28 days, and it was the making of me, it really was, because I had to really be with my feelings, and the sugar was put down, and there was no drugs, so I had to really, and that, when I came back to the UK, and oh yeah, in treatment, they were like, don't get in a relationship, and I was calling my sponsor, going, so I've kind of fallen in love with someone in the treatment centre, so I was 2 years clean in NA. And then she's like, he's a newcomer. I was like, oh, no. And she's like, he's a newcomer, Amy. And I'm like, no, he's not. She's like, he's a newcomer. Don't even go there. And I was like, yes, but this is different. We're writing letters to each other. God has sent him to me. And she's like, he's a newcomer. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And then I got in a relationship. Well, we were warned. There was like the third written warning. And then it was like, you're fraternizing. I'm like, no, I'll wait for him to be 6 months. I'll be a good recovery girl. And then we did kiss like once like that. And that was it. And we wrote letters to each other, but it was total acting out. And then, yeah, I'm not with that sponsor anymore. again, I needed a bit more experience, strength and hope in that area. But that's it. And then I was like, fuck, like I don't know what's happened to him. I did the non-contract, but again, it's like, I need to be going to this other fellowship as well. Like, cause I can see like, and I was like, no, this is real. This is really real. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it really wasn't. But it was like, fuck, this is like, I put the drugs down. I put the sugar down. And because it was, and then it's like, and then I came back and the shame, I was like, yeah, I've not slept with a newcomer though. I just kissed like that. But it was like, it didn't matter. It's like, yeah, I'm not drinking wine, but I'm drinking beer. It's like, you've fucked up someone else's recovery. And that's not cool. And so when I came back, I was like, yeah. So things kind of like shifted. I was like, it's not okay for me to be acting out. And how long have I really got now?
You've got...
I want to talk about recovery.
Yeah, you've got... 8 minutes.
Ooh, okay, so then my recovery really, really started. Because when I was doing the steps, I was still in addiction. I was cross-addicting to sugar. I was, like, binging all the time. I was stealing. I was, like, texting NA guys. Even though there's nothing sexual, it was like I was still, like, not in present. I wasn't connecting with women. I wasn't, like... I was just basically not being the good recovery person I was portraying I was. So doing the steps, like again, doing the steps around stealing, around porn, around like compulsive, loads of stuff. So having to like look, and because I'd had that clean time in recovery with no drugs, I was like, fuck, it's not the drugs. It is the drugs, of course. But then I was like, I'm still psycho without the drugs. It's addiction. Then it was that eureka moment, and everyone in in my treatment center was like, no, it's the drugs. And I was like talking about this crazy behavior around sugar, around this, around that. And they were just like, fuck, you're insane. I was like, it's the disease of addiction. It's like, it morphs in so many areas, and it's whether I want to look at it. And now, like, and it doesn't matter what anyone else do, for me, I have to be like recovering in a few different areas, in relationships, in my food recovery, in my emotional state, my mental health, drugs, alcohol, workaholism. That's been a huge one. And because if I don't, it all wants to lead me back to using. Like, I don't really want to be using sugar or flirting with whoever it is. I really want to be like on the hardcore stuff. But in the absence of that, it's like, well, what can I use? But it's like, in those 2 years of like my first 2 years of recovery, it was so painful. But when I was just like, I can't do this anymore, that like emotional rock bottom in recovery clean. And then having that, and it was such a gift to be able to go to treatment and then come back and share my experience. And there's women in this meeting that I really, really absolutely love and adore and treasure. And to be able to talk about relationships and like having sober sex in recovery, I was like, what do I do? Like, how do I, like having to be bounded and be like, actually, no, I'm tired, rather than, oh God, if I don't have sex, like he won't love me anymore, he'll leave me. It's like, to be okay with me, and to have like respect for myself, and to work the program, and to be honest, and to find out who I am, to look at my behaviors, to really like analyze. And before I'd like gone through the steps, like, oh look, sponsor, how many pages I've written, and it's all this flowery, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I kept so many secrets. It's only when I went to treatment, they were like, if you don't share your fucking shit, you're going to die. And I was like, okay, I like this, I like that. And they were like, oh my Christ. And then it was so good to just get it out, because I was like, if I don't share this, I am going to die. And because I was scared, and it was all the sex stuff, and I was like, but it's drugs, I can't share this. And it's like finding those people that are going to be able to hold it and be able to be like, it's okay. And it's all fucking childhood trauma. And people are like, you've not been traumatized, you had a lovely childhood. I'm like, you don't know, you're not a fucking psychiatrist, you're not this, like, people are so quick to judge and jump in. It's like, you don't know, I don't know, like, we all don't know. But I know something seriously happened in whatever it was in my childhood. I know, and so I will carry those things. I will carry my pain of my mum and dad stuff, and then I will play this out. And so my workings out, like, I feel like I've said nothing about recovery. Like recovery today, so it's like how I work my program. So it's like I connect with my core strong women who are in my life that are going to help me and pull me up on my behaviors. And I want to be praying, like really, really praying to the God of my understanding, and to really connect and to do service, to help other people. Before I was like, fuck the newcomer, I'm the most important person in the room. It is about the newcomer. It's like, what can I give? How can I help this person? What can I give? Even if it's just listening or whatever it is, giving them a cup of tea, just something. Like, people have been so kind to me, and I really genuinely want to give that back. And I have got so much experience, but my head's like, you've got nothing to say. But so for example, now, like, all the childhood stuff, and we've all got, and that thing, I'm like, oh, I've not had it bad enough, I've not done this, but we've all had it bad, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We don't come here like skipping in, and even if we do come in skipping in, it's like we go, fuck, like I'm like, Mike came in skipping, and then I'm like, actually, I'm in pain, please help me. So like now, fast forward to this present day, it's like, how do I live my life in recovery? Like I show up, I get up, I'm like getting ready for the day, and in my, so like how, like I have to be working this program in all my areas. Like I'm in a relationship now after my 2 year abstinence, thank you. I'm in a relationship, and there were so many people that were like, don't do it, don't get a relationship, you're not ready, you're clearly not ready. And I was like, no, I am. And so I like bumbled in, and then it's that thing of like learning on the job. That's why I think recovery for me is an experiential process. We have to be in it. I have to be in friendships to know what a good friend is, to know what a bad friend is. I have to be in a sponsorship relationship to know my sponsorship relationship, or to have sponsees and to work with that thing. So I have to be in a relationship to work out my stuff, but I have to work on like my stuff from the past not affecting the present, and I've had to really work on my defects of jealousy, control around my partner's children. So for example, I've not spoken about this, but like my hatred of my sister being born because I wanted my mum and dad all to myself, and then that thought of sharing, I never shared anything, drugs, boyfriend, anything. So when I have to now like share my partner with his children, rightly so, they're his children, I'm like, I've had to really work on like, he's not just mine, I have to share. And I'm like, I come from like, I'll never have kids because how can anyone share the partner? But it's like, I can't, like, I've lived in this never never land all of my life, and it's like, it's reality, it's like I have to work my program, I have to work with what is. I can't just like get rid of the people I don't want in the world anymore. Off with your heads, go away. It's like life's not like that. I have to like work with stuff, and it's not all going to be the way I want things. And a lot of stuff has happened in recovery, but it's like how, all I have to do is don't pick up drugs. And if I'm in pain picking up poor fucking scratchings or nuts or whatever other like weird things I've picked up in recovery, and I'm like, I'm so ashamed to like share that I'm addicted to like pigs fat and pork and pubes. It's but it's like, that's my addict. It wants me to do like really shaming weird things. And it's like, this is how I like, it's like, I don't want to be doing that. I want to like spray perfume or like call a friend and like reach out and be like, this is what's really going on. I don't want to be like binge eating or like looking at like whatever it is I'm looking at on the internet, like numbing out. It's not like, it doesn't make me feel good inside. I want to be doing self-esteemable things, and it's recovering like all the time. It's like working out what's okay with me and what's not. And I'm so lucky to like the people that have come into my life, like I'm so lucky. And I don't want to be like, yeah, I came into recovery and I've got an amazing job, I'm like changing career, I've got a house, fiance, like, cause, but all these things, like and amazing friends, but I've got all these really lovely things. But that's because I've worked my program and I've kept coming back to recovery. Not because, it's not that I've got all these things, it's not that, it's what I've got for myself, my relationship with myself, and saying no and saying yes to the steps, yes to recovery. And when those defects of character, the jealousy, the like wanting to do something, wanting to say something horrible, like it's like, but it's really to the past. It's like, oh yeah, my mum and dad, whatever it is. It's like, it's nothing to do with the past. It's about today, how I work my program in this minute. And when my defects of character come in, someone said something yesterday, no, it's not my words. And it's like, I've now forgotten it. So, they were like, oh, I've forgotten what it is. No, I've forgotten. Anyway, it's basically like, oh, what is it? I wrote it down and I've forgotten it. That's because it's not my words. It's just like basically like saying no to the disease, and it's like the 1-2 punch. And it's like literally some days I have no fight and I'm like, fuck this, I want to die. And this is in recovery. I'm just like, I don't want to show up. But it's like, come on, like get up, just do the next right thing. Call someone and or text someone and say, I feel like shit. Please, can you call me? Or please, can you meet me for a cup of tea? Like people have been so kind, so, so kind. And they've seen me like in real, real states. And I've been able to be real and be honest. And I've been as honest as I can be in my recovery, but it's when I can't pretend anymore. It's like, I can't pretend I'm not in pain, because when I am in pain, I feel like I've said absolute nonsense this whole way through. But recovery really, really, really does work. So if you're new, just keep coming back, stick around, and whatever's going on, like we really don't have to pick up. I can call someone today and I can choose like freedom and happiness rather than addiction, which is all shit. Thank you.
Thank you.